I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and speak to us this morning. As we look into your word, God, open the eyes of our hearts, and I pray that you will challenge us and stretch us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. We're going to look again today at the story of Peter being rescued from prison. Acts chapter 12. Before we get there, though, there's a couple of other verses I'm going to look at. In John 14, and these are going to be up on the screen, in John 14, Jesus said something that is absolutely stunning, and to this day, I try to wrap my mind around what Jesus is saying here. John 14, 12, he says, I tell you the truth. Now think about this. Is there anything Jesus says that's not true? So we already know what he's about to say is true, right? So for Jesus to say, I'm telling you the truth, what he's saying is he's shining a spotlight on it and saying, I really want you to pay attention to this. This matters. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. When you absorb what he's saying here, it's stunning. He says, anyone who believes in me, who does that include? Us, right? He didn't just say these 12 disciples of mine or those who follow me for the first 100 years of Christianity. No, he said anyone who believes in me, that includes us. He said anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. What are the works Jesus did? He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He set captives free. He did the impossible. He did the miraculous. And he said, those who believe in me will do those same things. Why? Because he said, I'm going to be with the Father, which meant when Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to do things we could never do on our own. That's an amazing promise he gives us. From the very beginning of this church, I have said we will be a church where miracles happen and where sicknesses are healed, where addictions are broken, where marriages are restored, where the lost find Christ, where the hopeless find hope. And those things happening will not be unusual. That will be the norm. Now, we've seen glimpses of that from time to time, but it is not yet the norm. We know this, so we're not there yet. We've got some ways to go, and God is calling us to pursue that this year. God is calling us, as I said last week, to pursue breakthrough because that's what he wants for this church. Let me mention again what I mentioned last week. Back around the stairs, there's a bunch of cards that look like this. And this is a reminder of something I'm asking everyone in our church to do for 40 days starting today. Last week I gave you a heads up. Today is day one of this. So here's what I'm asking you to commit yourself to do for the next 40 days. Three things. Number one, I'm asking you to add 15 minutes to your prayer time every single day. So if you pray for 20 minutes a day, start praying for 35 minutes a day. If you pray for 5 minutes a day, start praying for 20 minutes a day. If you don't pray on a regular basis, start praying for at least 15 minutes every single day. Do that every day for the next 40 days. And during those 15 minutes, here's what I'm asking you to pray for. Pray for breakthrough. Pray for revival. Pray for yourself that God will birth within you a deep hunger for more of him, for more closeness with him, that God will birth that hunger within this church, that God will pour out his spirit. And for those needs that you're aware of, pray big prayers and ask God to move in power in every one of those situations. Pray that way for the next 40 days for at least 15 minutes a day. Here's the second thing I'm asking you to do is once a week to fast from something meaningful. Something that matters to you. So whether that means skipping a meal one day a week or skipping every meal that day, or it doesn't have to be food. Maybe that day it's staying away from something else that takes up some of your time. Maybe a favorite hobby. Maybe social media. Maybe putting your phone away for a day. Maybe it's taking a break from time with friends. Whatever it is, something you would normally do that takes up time, you take a break from that and you spend that time instead just soaking in God's presence. Not asking him for anything, just learning to recognize the presence of God and learning to recognize the voice of God. Do that once a week for the next 40 days. And here's the third thing I'm asking you to do every week. Get together with a few other people and pray together. whether it's a ministry that you're already involved in within the church that meets together, and you set aside more time during that ministry, make prayer more of a focus, or if it's finding a prayer partner or a couple of prayer partners, get together with at least one or two other people once a week and pray together, focused on those same things, praying for revival, praying for breakthrough, praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit, praying for God to move in your heart and develop within you a deeper and deeper hunger for Him. Do those three things for the next 40 days. That's what I'm encouraging everyone in our church to do starting today. And the reminders again are cards back there around the stairs. Now, near the end of last year, there's a song that became very popular among a lot of believers, and it's a song that we actually sang on Friday night. It's a song called Too Good to Not Believe, Brandon Lake. And I'll be honest with you, I love / hate that song because of some of what it says. It says, we've seen real life resurrections. We've seen cancer disappear. Don't you tell me He can't do it. You understand why I love / hate that song. I know He can do it, but we haven't seen that yet. And I don't know about you, but I can't be okay with that. Because I know that God is up to something, and I know that there is far more available to us than what we have seen so far. It goes on, it says, we'll see cities in revival and salvation flood the streets. Don't you tell me He can't do it. When I hear that song, when I sing those lyrics, there is a longing in my heart because I know God can do that, and I know He's doing it in other places. He's just not doing it here yet. So I'm thankful for what He has done here in this place. I am so grateful for everything He has done here, but I am hungry for what He is yet to do because there is more that's coming. And so as I said, we are called this year to pursue breakthrough. And I want you to know we're not the first to do that. There's a very long history of people praying for God to move in power. Let me just give you two examples. In Acts chapter 4, the early church prayed this way, verses 29 and 30, and now, Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. The church prayed, God give us boldness and God move in power, and He did. Sicknesses were healed, miracles happened, the lost found Christ, and lives were changed. The fact that they prayed that prayer and God answered that prayer authorizes us to pray the same way today. But they weren't the first either. Long before that, a prophet in the Old Testament named Habakkuk prayed this prayer, Habakkuk 3:2. He says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. He says, God, I've heard all the stories. I've heard the things you did in the past with David and Goliath and parting the Red Sea and the walls of Jericho. I've heard all these amazing miracles, these incredible things. I'm amazed, God, by the things that I've heard of what you have done. But he doesn't stop there. He then says this, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. This is a prophet saying, God, I've heard these stories and I'm amazed by them, but I'm not okay just hearing them. I want to see them in my place and in my time. God, we need you to move in power here and now, just as you did back then. God, you've done it before. Do it again. And that's our prayer. God, do it again. I've shared this several times. About 200 years ago, there was a revival in this area. And about 3,000 people right down here in this river, about 3,000 people came here and got baptized. God did that in this area about 200 years ago. And ever since I heard that story, I've been praying that prayer, God, do it again. And so we're called to pray for breakthrough this year. Right now, we're in a time of preparation. I talked about this last week. And one of the things I want to focus on today is this, that a time of preparation doesn't mean we do nothing. Preparation requires something of us, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We talked last week about Peter's story, so let me just do a quick recap. In Acts chapter 12, King Herod arrests James, one of the apostles, and has him beheaded. There's a segment of the population that's very happy with this. as has been true all through history, there are certain people and certain groups that when Christians are persecuted and opposed, they celebrate that, and that was the case back then as well. And so Herod, wanting to grow more in his popularity, thought, well, this is good news, so I'm going to have Peter arrested as well. He's the leader of the church, so I'll arrest him and put him in prison. And the plan was to have a big public trial not long from then and to make a public example out of Peter, a warning to everybody, this is what happens to those who follow this Jesus person. And so Peter is in prison, and while he is there, the church gathers together and they begin to pray. And God miraculously sets Peter free from that prison. An angel shows up and frees him, rescues him. So we're going to take a look again at that story, just a few verses here in Acts chapter 12. And today I want you to see something. There's something in these verses that is so simple, that is so blindingly obvious, we could easily miss it. So let's take a look, starting in verse 8. It says, then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street. And then the angel suddenly left him. I just want to point out something that is ridiculously simple in this story. In verse 8, the angel says, follow me. Peter had to follow the angel, right? In verse 9, it says Peter left the cell. In verse 9, it also says he followed the angel. In verse 10, it says they walked past the guard post, they walked through the gates, they walked down the street. This is so obvious we might miss it. Peter had to take the next step to be free. Right? God offered him freedom. God cleared the path, but Peter had to take a step to experience what God made available to him. He had to do something. This freedom required something of him. This miracle, this breakthrough required something of him. He had to do something to experience the fullness of what God had provided him. Think about it this way. Let's say the angel wakes him up, chains fall off, doors are flying open, the guards are oblivious, and Peter sees all this happening and just sits there and does nothing. Is he free? No. Let's say he sees all this happening and he sits there and he says, God, why won't you rescue me? I know people are praying for me. When are you going to come and take me out of this prison cell? If he's sitting there praying that prayer, nothing is going to happen. He's not a free man. And sometimes, as followers of Christ, that is exactly where we are. Sometimes we face these challenges in our lives. Sometimes we're imprisoned by certain things, but we keep doing the very things that imprisoned us and then saying, God, why won't you free me from this? God offers us freedom and God offers us life, but sometimes we have to do something to experience what he is offering us, because whatever you aren't changing, you are choosing. That was a good word right there. How many times does God present us with a perfect opportunity to grow or to have an impact on someone else's life, to do something that could change their life, but we sit there doing what we've always done and we miss that opportunity, and then we wonder why we never see lives changed and why we never see God move in power? Or how about this? How many times in our busyness we push God aside for other priorities, allow other things to become more important to us than God, and then we wonder, why does God seem so distant? Or how about this? How many times we surround ourselves with ungodly influences? We fill our minds with the world's value system, the world's belief system, the world's lies and temptations, and then we wonder why we can't overcome those sinful habits that plague us all the time. Or how about this? How many times we convince ourselves, I'm too busy for church, I'm too busy to pray, I'm too busy to do those things that will help me grow spiritually. We will clear our schedules and make sacrifices and rearrange things for other stuff in our lives, but we'll push the God stuff aside, and then we wonder why we aren't growing spiritually or why our kids aren't hungry for God. My point is this: God places opportunities right in front of us all the time that lead to freedom and breakthrough, that give us a chance to have a life-changing impact on someone else's life. And so many times we miss it because we're not willing to take the next step. God can remove the chains, God can open the doors, but we will miss out on what he wants to do in our lives if we sit back when he says, follow me, and we just choose to stay put, because staying put is more comfortable. It's time to take the next step. The Christian life is described in Scripture as a journey, as a walk. And the only difference between following Jesus and going nowhere is whether or not we're willing to take the next step. Peter is a perfect example of this. There are other times in his life when he took the next step and his life was changed forever because of that. The first one was one day when he was fishing. And Jesus came along, and fishing wasn't a hobby. That was his job. That was his income. That was his living. And Jesus comes along and says, come follow me. And Peter drops everything, walks away from his job, walks away from his nets, and follows Jesus. And because he took that next step, his life was forever changed. Another moment in his life was when he took that step out of the boat. You know the story, right? Disciples are in the boat and this massive storm comes up and they're freaking out. They're sure the boat's going to tip over and they're going to die. And all of a sudden they see Jesus walking across the water, just like he's just out for a walk, like nonchalantly walking along the water. And they're like, what is going on here? Is this really Jesus? What's happening? And Peter hollers over and he says, if it's really you, ask me to come out of the boat and walk to you on the water. And Jesus did. And I know people look at that story and they say, well, yeah, Peter sank in the water. Yes, he did. But before that happened, there was a moment when he was walking on the water in a storm. Something only one other person in history has ever done. And what's amazing about that, he has this incredible encounter with Jesus that no one else in the boat had. Why? Because he was the only one who was willing to take the next step. And that's why I love this picture that my dad brought in for us today. Because most of the time when you see this story in picture, you see Peter in the water reaching up for help. This one shows him walking on the water because that's what he did too. See, that freedom that God offers us, breakthrough that God offers us, those amazing encounters with him, having a life-changing impact on someone else's life, all of that depends on our willingness to take the next step. Over the last week or so, there have been four or five of you, unbeknownst to each other, there have been four or five of you who have shared with me that since coming to this church, you have been pushed out of your comfort zone. You had things figured out. You kind of knew where your life was headed. And then you started coming here. And God messed all that up. And God challenged that. And he pulled you out of your comfort zone and you chose not to ignore him, but you chose to follow him and to take that next step. And you stepped out of your comfort zone. And that is awesome. And I have to tell you, that is one of the most encouraging things I can hear. I'll be honest. If you tell me afterwards, hey, great sermon, pastor. I enjoyed that. Thank you. I appreciate that. But when someone comes up to me and says, what you said today, it challenged me. And God used that to stretch me and to shove me out of my comfort zone. I love that. And I want more of that. And I want more and more people out of their comfort zone. Why? Because our comfort zone is the enemy of growth. Our comfort zone is the enemy of passion. It's the enemy of God's purposes. There's a difference between comfort. There are times we are feeling sorrow and grief and we need comfort, yes. But our comfort zone is that thing that we embrace that keeps us from God's purposes. So we can pursue our comfort zone or we can pursue growth and passion, but we can't pursue both. It's when we jump out of our comfort zone that we begin to experience things that really matter. When we lived in Arizona, we had a young lady in our church who was a therapist working with teens who had eating disorders and very serious eating disorders to the point of medical emergency. So her job was very challenging and emotionally draining. So on the weekends, she went to her therapy, and her therapy was skydiving every single weekend. Now, I know the joke is, you know, why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Here's why. Because she discovered that without leaving behind the comfort of the airplane, You'll never experience the exhilaration of flying through the air at 120 miles an hour with nothing else around you. Without leaving behind that airplane, you'll never see the stunning beauty of God's creation from a few thousand feet up with nothing obstructing your view. In other words, when she left that comfort of the airplane, when she took that next step out into the sky with nothing else around her, she experienced things far beyond anything she would have experienced otherwise. Just like Peter, taking that next step onto the water, taking that next step to follow Jesus, taking that next step out of prison, in the same way, there are things we will never experience if we embrace comfort over passion. And I know that some of you here don't want to leave your comfort zone, and I get it. It's comfortable. But we need you to. Because there are things God wants to do in your life. There are things he wants to change through you, lives he wants to impact through you, but you will never see that or experience it if you're not willing to take that leap of faith. So today I'm challenging you, I'm daring you to step out of your comfort zone. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you, so I'm going to make a few suggestions. Because I know this, no matter where you are spiritually, and no matter how long you've been a believer, God calls every one of us to take the next step. So let me give a series of examples and see if any of these resonate in your heart with what God has been working on in your life. For some of you, taking the next step, stepping out of your comfort zone, looks like this: going to that person who is sick and boldly praying for Jesus to heal them, and then expecting it to happen. For some of you, taking that next step is following that prompting God has put in your heart to go to that person who's not a believer and you've never shared your faith with them because it's intimidating. But the prompting in your heart God is telling you is to go and share that with them. Just as simple as saying this: I want to tell you about something that has changed my life. And it has nothing to do with religion or with going to church. It's about a man named Jesus. And more than anything, I want you to meet him. For some of you, that's the next step God is calling you to. For some of you, the next step God is calling you to is the prompting in your heart to go pay for that total stranger, to pay for their gas, to pay for their groceries, but then to go beyond that to tell them why. Here's why: because God loves you and he wanted to prove that to you today. For some of you, taking that next step is something as simple as coming up here some Sunday for step up to the microphone and sharing your story of how God has changed your life and inviting your friends so they can come and hear what God has done in your life. And that will open up a conversation where you can go deeper with them as what God has done for you. For some of you, taking that next step might mean this: coming here on Wednesdays or on Sundays to prayer time and diving in and praying out loud, even though the thought of doing that terrifies you. And I have to tell you, this past Friday night, we saw some of that. This past Friday night, one of the people that was here shared something very personal and asked for prayer for that. And that was a miracle, because that was that person stepping out of their comfort zone. And I think God's going to bless them because of that. And there was another individual who came up front afterwards to close us in prayer and specifically said, "This is out of my comfort zone," but he did it anyways in obedience to God. And that was an amazing moment. That is awesome when we respond to God in that way. For some of you, taking that next step might mean this. It might mean getting involved in a ministry or starting that ministry that God has put on your heart. Maybe for some of you, there's been that nudge. You see a need. And you notice a need, you notice something that needs to happen, and maybe the reason you notice it is because God put that need on your heart because you're the person to step in and to meet that need. Now, if you're new to the church and you're just kind of visiting and checking things out, that's great. You're welcome. But for some of you, you've been here long enough that it's time to get involved. And if you want to get involved but you're not sure where, God knew that you would come today with that question, so he provided this for you. There's a whole bunch of these back there on the information center. There are 4 pages here of ministry opportunities here in our church. And what it includes is what the ministry is, what the ministry does, and how to know if this ministry fits you. and who to contact to find out more. So if you're looking for a place to get involved, if that's the next step for you, what God is saying, here's what taking the next step looks like for you, that's a good starting point. Here's another one. How about this? For some of you who are older believers, for some of you, God calling you out of your comfort zone means this: investing your life in someone who is a younger believer. Those of you who are in your 60s and older, you have so much to offer the rest of us. So much wisdom, so many experiences with God. One of the greatest gifts God has given me is the mentors He has brought into my life. The first one was when we were at Shell Point Village, a man named Gilbert Johnson, who taught preaching in Bible college. He taught my dad in Bible college. And Gilbert Johnson pulled me aside one day and he said, "I have a whole library. You're welcome to it anytime you would like. And how about if we start getting together on a regular basis, and I'd like to help you and teach you." And he gave me so much wisdom and knowledge that has benefited me for many years. In Arizona, it was a man named Art Polis. And I saw so much wisdom in him. He has so many gifts in areas that I don't have gifts. So one day I said, "Art, if I buy you breakfast, can we meet together once a week and I can just pick your brain?" And he said, "Absolutely." And that began a friendship and a mentoring relationship that continues to this day. And I'm so grateful for him. And now my dad, who has been my pastor for so long, who's been a pastor for most of his life, who's been my dad for my entire life, and the wisdom and the knowledge. Yes, he has. It's true. But having him here as a mentor is such an amazing gift. So for those of you who you've had these experiences with God, you've had so much growth in your life, understand everything God has done for you, it's for you. But it's not only for you. Someone else needs that too. So for some of you, what God is saying to you today is this: I want you to step out of your comfort zone, and that means pouring your life into someone else to help them grow deeper and stronger in their walk with me. For some of you here today, and this one is more difficult, the next step God is calling you to is one of repentance. Because some of you here today are not where you should be spiritually, and you know it. And God is calling you back home to Himself. There was a time when you were close to Him. There was a time when you were pursuing Him, when He was the most important thing in your life. But right now, He is not. Other things have pushed Him aside. Other things have taken priority. Usually in this culture, those other things include money or possessions, or the lack of money or possessions. That can take priority over God very quickly. And if that's where you are today, what God is saying to you right now is, I want you to repent, turn away from that, and come back home to me. I don't know what it is for you, but I know this: wherever you are spiritually right now, God has more for you. But He's calling you to take the next step. He's calling you to leave comfort behind so you can experience the more that He has for you. Let me say one more thing about our comfort zone. Sometimes our comfort zone is actually our prison. Just as Peter was in prison, sometimes that thing that we embrace to keep us safe and comfortable and feeling nice is the very thing that is holding us back. I love preaching. Any of you who have been here more than 5 minutes know that, right? That wasn't always true. I used to be, like everybody else, terrified of the idea of getting up in front of people. And that very first time that I preached in Fort Myers, Florida, standing in front of 500 people, most of whom were retired pastors and missionaries, yeah, I was a little bit out of my comfort zone. I didn't want to do it. But I realized this, looking back on that, I realized something. If I had stayed in my comfort zone, if I had refused to do that and said, I don't care if you fire me, I'm not doing this. This is not a thing that's going to happen. If I had stayed in my comfort zone, I would have been imprisoned by that fear for the rest of my life. And if I had stayed in my comfort zone, Sheila and I never would have experienced this amazing journey that God has brought us on for these past 30 plus years. If I had stayed in my comfort zone, this church would not exist. We wouldn't be here right now, gathered together as a family, worshiping God. My point is this, that for some of you, that comfort zone that you embrace and that you love so much is the very prison that's holding you back from fulfilling God's purposes in your life. Please hear what I'm saying. Sometimes as your pastor, and sometimes as your pastor's wife, we say things to you or we do things that challenge you, that encourage you to change something in your life, that encourage you to step out of your comfort zone or leave something behind. I want you to understand this. When we say those things, it's not because we're judging you. We're not. It's not because we're against you. We're not. It's because we want you to be free. Because sometimes we can see something in your life that you might not see that tells us that comfort zone has become your prison and it's holding you back. It's holding you back from the impact you could have for the kingdom of God. It's holding you back from a ministry that God has called you and equipped you to fulfill. It's holding you back from experiencing God's presence in worship in a way you never knew was possible. It's holding you back from a depth in your prayer life that you never knew was available. It's holding you back from the supernatural empowering of a spiritual gift that God has put within you that He wants to stir up and bring to the surface. Understand, when we challenge you, it is not judging, it's an invitation. Because God has removed the chains and He's opened the doors and He's waiting for you to take the next step. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And just in a moment of silence, as I was reading through that list a few minutes ago, I have to believe that for most everyone here, at least one of those things clicked with you. At least one of those things was something God has been speaking to you about, and there was something inside of you that said, yep, that's where I am. The danger is just recognizing that and then leaving and not changing anything. I want to encourage you to actually do something with that. I want you to know that you hearing God speak to you today, that's God telling you that He's opening doors, removing chains, and inviting you to follow Him. And it's up to you to follow His lead and take the next step. So I'm going to ask you, if God spoke to you today about something He's calling you to do, to step out of your comfort zone or to take the next step, right now, would you just stand to your feet? And I'm going to pray for you. God is good. So God, this is our prayer. You invite us to follow You. And our answer to You is yes. No more hesitation. No more excuses. No more holding back and staying in our comfort zone. God, You're calling us out today. And we say, yes, we will follow You. I thank You for the work You're doing in people's hearts right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that You will fill us. And I pray that You will empower us to fully accomplish everything You're calling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. I want to encourage you, whatever God spoke to you today, let someone else know. And whatever that next step is, do that today. Because the longer we put it off, the easier it is for us to talk ourselves out of it. We all know this. So tell someone else, and then take the next step today.